I'm going to get straight into it because we're limited on time. And like, I guess all of coming out of Egypt was always about being limited on time. So it's why you get into that time. I want to focus thinking a little bit on, you could argue the central message of the Haggadah. You could argue there's lots of central messages. But Rabbi Gamliel tells us that anyone who didn't say these three things did not fulfill their duty on Pesach. And that is Pesach, Matzah, and Maror. Right, you've got to talk about these three things. Why? Because that's what the pasuk says. V'gadza levincha, you should do a Haggadah, a telling over to your child. V'yomaru on that day, Lemar is saying, V'avor zeh, because of this, because of Pesach, Matzah, and Maror, Hashem took us out of Egypt. And so, the Haggadah of Pesach, which is really the Mishnayos of Psachim, by the way, I'll just drop this for you, because this will be exciting for you. Do you know in ancient times what the name was given for the Mishnah, the first redaction of the Oral Torah, what it was called? It was called the Laws of Pesach, Hilchos HaPesach. We refer to it near the beginning of Seder night. We say, you teach a wise son, Kehilchos HaPesach. You go through the Haggadah, basically. You do the laws, you go through the way it's written in the Laws of Pesach. And in the Laws of Pesach, in the Mishnayos of Psachim, which end with Eim Aftirin HaPesach HaVikoyman, the final Laws of Pesach, it says this Mishnah, Rabban Gamliel says, anyone who hasn't said these three things has not fulfilled their duty. Pesach, Matzah, Maror. So what are the messages we're getting out? Pesach, we say, and we can't point to, there's no carbon Pesach today, but in our mind, we try to feel as if we were in the Beis HaMikdash, we would have a carbon Pesach, we'd feel what we're missing out on. Pesach, she'avaseinu oichlim bezman she'beis HaMikdash hayakayam al shumma. Why would they eat the Pesach when the Beis HaMikdash was there? And we say, al shum she'pasach HaKadosh Baruch Hu al-botei avaseinu b'Mitzrayim, because Hashem skipped our houses. He jumped over our houses in Egypt. Shenam, and then we quote a pasuk. V'amartem zevach pesach hu l'Hashem. You should say, one of the things every Jew is supposed to tell their children is zevach pesach hu l'Hashem. This is the Pesach offering to Hashem. Asher pasach al-bote b'nei Yisrael b'Mitzrayim, who jumped over the houses in Egypt. When he smote the Mitzrayim, he saved us, and the people bow. Now that's it. What is the context of this verse, of this pasuk? Have you ever looked it up and tried to work out what's going on? What's going on is that we're sitting in Egypt. We just read it in Shulchan Shabbos. We're sitting in Egypt. And in Egypt, Hashem says, this is what you do. You take this Pesach offering, the sheep. Why the sheep, by the way? So we all know, because it was one of the Egyptian gods. We actually know the name. Archaeologically, it's called Chnumra. The Egyptians had this very interesting idea. They looked at all the forces of nature and they thought the natural world is the way the world's meant to be. And they saw it all as divine and they had all these gods. The highest form they had was actually a sun god called Ra. And it had three forms and form that protected the pharaohs called Chnumra. It's a sheep. So kind of the thing that protects the entire order. You look at the natural world, you want to see everything is in its place, you see a sheep. Sheep is very good at this. It doesn't really rebel against anything. It's in exactly its natural order. It allows all things to be. The grasses get eaten by the sheep. The human dominates this. It's all, the Egyptians loved the natural order of things. They even had a word for it in Egyptian called ma'at. Everything's in its exact place. And that meant the powerful dominate the powerless, the weaker crush the stronger over there. It's all about might makes right. It's all about the natural structure. And we take that and we want to get rid of all of the natural system. We say as Klal Yisrael, as the Jewish people, we are free from the way the world happens to be. Free from its natural order. So in Mitzrayim, but it's not enough that we do that in Egypt. What Hashem says to us in Egypt is, and you're going to do this in the future. And in fact, we quote the situation of a child coming to the future and asking what it is. And guess which child of the four children the Torah talks about at that moment? The cynical one. The one we call a rasha. If your child says, Maha avoida zois lachem, what is this work to you? You give them this answer. Zevach Pesach el Hashem, it's a Pesach offering. One second. We are now quoting in the Haggadah. We're coming to the most important bit. We're telling the answer you tell to the wicked, cynical child. Zevach Pesach, it's a Pesach offering to Hashem who saved us in Egypt. And not only that, you know what the people's response was? We actually recorded it. They bowed down and were grateful. Isn't that incredible? Let's give the tzaddik, the Rechochem's answer instead. Why at this point in the pinnacle of Seder night do we give the answer to the cynical child? And the answer is, there's actually a few answers, but I think the most We don't. Earlier in Seder night, we did not give this answer to the cynical child. What did we say? We gave them earlier the answer. We said, because of this, God saved me. Right? This, your cynical child, the wicked child says, what is this stuff to you? You say, because of this, Hashem took me out of Egypt. Me, and you emphasize the word me. If it have had that attitude, it never have come out. Now we're giving a different answer. Now we're giving the answer the Torah gave. What was the earlier answer? The earlier answer was not the answer the Torah gave to this child. The earlier answer was the answer the Torah gave to the child who doesn't know how to ask. Same pasuk. Not talking now about the foot, but the same pasuk. We literally use, you say, because of this God acted for me when he took me out of Egypt. What is the point? The idea is this. It's a Kedushas Levi, really. All of us are all four children. All of us are. All of us have aspects of wisdom. We're seeking and searching meaning. All of us have a bit of cynicism. All of us have a simplicity, just want to know more. And all of us have a part of us that doesn't ask questions. In our little childish image, we often imagine that's like a little three-year-old kid. There is no child who doesn't ask questions. Ene Delisha is not a young kid. Any kid capable of understanding the words, Hashem took me out of Egypt, is more than capable of asking questions. The most likely Ene Delisha, the most likely non-asking questions you'll ever meet is an adult. I know it all already. I've come equipped with my Haggadah, with my notes, and I'm going to teach everybody else. Me, I'm not seeking anything whatsoever. And the Haggadah tells us that to the extent to which we are wise, it's a mechilta, it's an old medrash, beautiful. The ancient medrashim are the core of the oral Torah, right? It tells us that to the extent to which we're wise, Seder night is going to lift us. We're on a journey to be lifted. It's not a journey of information. If it was information, then we could know the oral Torah, we could... This is much deeper than that. It's to be lifted. If we're wise, wise means we're trying to learn, this is going to lift us. If we're simple, we're going to have a great night. To the extent to which we are cynical or not seeking and searching, both of them are not seeking and searching. We need to be ripped open. We need the words that say, this is a journey coming out of Egypt. You don't want to be a part of it. You're not seeking and searching. You're not on it. You're out. And the rest of the Haggadah until this point is doing a lot of things. But hopefully by this point, the Rosh has turned from a cynic to a skeptic. Question, might have a skeptical attitude, but they're now questioning. And now we can take them on the journey. Now we can give them the Torah's answer. Switch of the mind, open ourselves up, and suddenly we are able to hear these incredible words. Hashem, Zevach Pesach Hu LaHashem. This is not a nice little ritual. This is going all the way to God. This is not a Jewish practice we've done for generations, and this is kind of our cultural thing that we do. This is the creator of the universe. This is because we were born in a moment of intense contact where all we had was Hashem and nothing else. And this is the deepest point of the whole of Seder night. What came out of Egypt, says the Maharal, was not like every other nation, plus we have a Torah. What came out of Egypt crushed our ability to be like every other nation. Egypt ripped it away. We cannot function under the normal laws of geopolitical structures because in those we're destroyed. We were already destroyed in Egypt. We cannot operate under the normal calculus that the spiritual worlds use to calculate good and bad. Under those, we were long gone in Egypt. We exist only because v'nitzak el Hashem el Akeh v'seinu, when everything was ripped away and crushed from us, a genetic equivalent sprung up within us, was the ability to say we can connect to that which is higher than the natural order of things. We can connect ourselves to that which is higher than the algorithms and the angels that drive creation. We can connect to the source of the entire universe. We can connect to Hashem. That's what's going on. And the entire process of the 10 Makos, of the 10 plagues in Egypt, the entire process was to literally undo the natural order. The Maharal has a chapter on it in the Geburah Hashem. The Sfasema speaks about it. Rav Yitzchak Isaac Chava speaks about it. And the last two say it was actually an inverse process. All the laws of nature, that Saruman Morris, the 10 sayings that God used to build the natural order, are all ripped away in the process of the 10 plagues. What are the 10 sayings? 9 times in the creation chapter, Yoyme Elohim, God said, let there be light. God said, let there be a rakia, firmament. God said, grasses should grow. God said this, God said, God said, God said. And Bereshis, the first word, is also God saying. 10 rules laying out the order of the natural world. In Egypt, all 10 had been contaminated. The entire natural system was being used to make humans gods, gods humans, power over people, and all the disasters that happen as a result. And we said, Hashem, we want you, the source of the universe, so that it can be recreated. And we can be part of that recreation. And that's why all 10 are undone, according to the Sfas Emes, in inverse order. So the very last thing created was Hashem said, Puravu, produce life. The very first thing is Hashem takes water, source of life, and turns it into blood, symbolizing death. And so it rolls through. The last 3 sayings of creation were about man. The first 3 plagues are attacking man. The next 2 are about animals. The next 2 plagues deal with animals. And so we roll backwards and backwards all the way. Until, for example, the second plague, second thing in creation is Yihi Or, let there be light. The second last plague is Choshech, darkness, which in Egypt would have had an extra meaning since the sun god was there, big thing. And finally, when all the laws are ripped away, the moment of Bereshis, the moment of the pure beginning. And in Egypt, every single Bereshis, every single firstborn, every single point of creation, every single family is ripped away. Bereshis is ripped away. There's no rules. There's no limits. There's no nothing. There's just HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chavodoy v'atzmoy. Hashem Himself, Lailatei Malach, as we say in our God a few lines earlier, not through angels, not through seraphs, not through anything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Himself says, do you want to jump to me? Do you want to come to me? We jump to Him, He jumps us. And at that moment, the Nogvoit, the plague that's in Egypt, in the natural world, is being, we're being lifted above it. Pesach la Hashem, a jump all the way to Hashem. Why do we eat matzah? Because there was no time. And Hashem just revealed Himself and redeemed us. As we say, by Yaikus Botzik, Shahitzim, Mitzan, Ugos, Matzis, Kile, Chomets, there's no Chomets, Goshim, Mitzan, they're driven out, Leyachalis, Mamea, they couldn't delay. Gam Seda, Leyachalim, they didn't have any provisions. What is this whole push of timelessness? You know, they knew they were coming out of Egypt 2 weeks earlier. Okay, we're ready to Shul on Shabbos, Achidish, then Achem, Rosh Chodosh, they knew, Rosh Chodosh, they knew about this time that they're going to come out. So the reason they didn't have chametz in the night itself was because Hashem had told them, you have to eat the carbon pestle, this jumping above the gods in the natural world with matzah. Okay, at midnight they become free, fine, but they don't leave Mitzrayim until the next morning. What happens in between? They're busy going around getting compensation for centuries of slavery. Gold, silver, fine wool, things that they will later on create a home for God Himself, the Mishkan, with. But then in the morning, again, go, boom, they got to go. And go the way most Rishonim learn. Go. Why? Why is Hashem doing this all the time? Why is the freedom in a moment that's like that? Why is the getting out in a moment? Why is Hashem engineering it so that at no point do you get 20 minutes to bake some bread? And this becomes not just the symbol, this becomes the essence of Pesach. Matzah becomes holy things. It becomes what the Zayah Nahamad Amnusa, this bread of that lifts us to the highest levels. And Chometz becomes like poison for 8 days. Why is what's going on? Because of exactly what I just said. You know, in Egypt, we know that Moshe Rabbeinu faithfully repeated every word God said, every word Hashem said, every moment, with one exception. We come out by Hiba Chatzi Alayla, the midpoint of the night. And Moshe doesn't say that to Pharaoh. He says, we're going to come out Ka Chatzoi Salayla, around midnight. Why did he change it? So we know Rashi brings the Gemara, the Brochus, it says, He was afraid the astrologers would miscalculate. Have you ever wondered what a strange thing this is? Let's picture the scenario. You're one of Pharaoh's astrologers. And for the last few months, every time Moshe Rabbeinu walks in and says something's happening, it happens. Now you're sitting there at nighttime and you're trying to, you got some kind of watch or something, and your watch is 10 seconds to midnight, 5 seconds to midnight, 4, 3, 2, 1, nothing happens. 20 seconds later, every single Egyptian, you want to get it, Moshe Badoi, Moshe, you know, that's what's going on. And Moshe's so worried about this, he changed. There's a number of answers. I'll tell you another problem. In those days, how did they tell the time? Mainly a sundial, right? It wasn't, there was no very accurate way of knowing time at night. So what's going on? Yitzhak Isaac Hover again, he says something remarkable, which ties into everything I just said, and I want to draw out the lesson, because this is the messages we're giving. There is no such time as the midpoint of the night. Imagine all of time is like a line. You take scissors and you slice it in two. You have all of the time before the midpoint and all of the time after the midpoint. Every single moment in time is before or after. It's just a way of dividing the night. It's not an actual moment. It doesn't take any time. You cannot come out ba chatzi alayla, inside of the midpoint of the night, because it's not a moment in time. You can come out ka chatzi alayla, around it. The Itztagninim, the astrologers, would have said, Moshe talks nonsense. We can't be mechaber. We can't analyze what the word... The word doesn't mean anything coming out of the... He just talks abstractions and weird things. It's like saying you're going to come out in zero time. He talks nonsense. And what does Hashem say? I am exactly taking you out in a moment that does not exist in time. That is exactly where I'm taking you. I've rolled back the laws of creation. I'm giving you a moment that is not even a moment in time, and I am lifting you out of it, and that's where you become free. Do you know what that means? Do you know what it was like to experience a moment that's not even in time? It means you suddenly see all of time. In particular, you see the end of time. The Targum Yerushalmi al Torah, the ancient translation of the Torah of Chazal, one of the two, not the Unclus. When the Jews stand at the foot of Mount Sinai, a few weeks later, Hashem says to them, you saw that I took you out of Mitzrayim, v'avi eschem elai, and I brought you to me. I carried you on wings of eagles, v'avi eschem elai, and I brought you to me. Now, in all the parashas and B'Shalach, we never find anything about carrying on wings of eagles. Targum says something, it's so beautiful. It's like, it's the first shocking and then it's just so moving. And so, and this really is everything we're trying to say here. He says, you saw that I took you on wings of eagles and I brought you to me, to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Holy Temple in Yerushalayim, to eat the Korban Pesach there. Now, one second, there was no Beis HaMikdash. It wasn't built for centuries later. There was no Yerushalayim. But what is this? You know what it means? They were lifted beyond the natural world. They could see everything. And they were literally like at the end of history. That's where we were. We were sitting at the end of history. We were sitting in Yemei HaMashiach. L'havi Yemei HaMashiach. And we'll talk about this when Mashiach comes. We were sitting in Mashiach. We were sitting experiencing Hashem's presence shining everywhere. The Beis HaMikdash is there. The Korban Pesach is there. The whole Jewish people. Everybody's there. We were eating there. We were not in time. We were transported beyond time. We were at the, and boom, then we're back in Egypt. Oh, it's Chatzos, midnight in 1 second, 2 second, 3 second, 4 second. Now we're carrying on. Why did Hashem do that? Because he wanted to create a people who do not belong to the world of space and time. A people who never really live in time. The only time we belong to is the future. At our core, we are citizens of the future, of the days of Mashiach, of a time that will be called Olam Haba, the world that will be, according to most opinions. We are citizens of the future who are temporary residents of the rest of history. We aren't citizens of the year 2024. unless Mashiach Be'ez Hashem comes this year, right? But we are citizens of that's what we are. Which country do we live in? The country Hashem told Avraham, Ha'aretz Asher Arakah, the land I will show you. We know where it is physically, but its full expression, that's where we live. We live in the future. The Torah that we keep is the law and constitution of the future. It is the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's His Ratzon, it's His will. That's what we live. We aren't just, we are ambassadors for the will of Hashem, citizens of the vision of Hashem. That's the country we belong to. That's the law that we belong to. That's who we are. And we are living in the present, anchored in the future, pulling the whole world there. That's what was created in Mitzrayim. A people so free, it can go to the all the way to the creator of the universe himself, to the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, live there. Pulled outside the natural, living in the future. Hashem had to make it a moment not in time so that we can be beyond time. And Hashem had to make each moment this quick. Because if we turned it into a delay and we let it sour into the natural, we would have lost it forever. Suppose when he said in the morning, are you ready to go? Or at midnight, do you want to be free? We'd have said, well, let's think about the practical dimensions here. We could never have been a people beyond time. Because the essence of being Jewish is not to be practical. Yes, we got to live in the practical world. Yes, our feet have to be anchored on the ground, but our being, our essence, our soul, our who we are, our where we are, would not be here today if it wasn't anchored in the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, we say we're learning Torah is the great mitzvah. What do we mean by that? Learning the will of God. That's what we do when we learn Torah. Keeping the Torah, learning the Torah. This is our attachment. This is the world that we are. This is who we are. We're the citizens of God's will. We're the citizens of the future. That's exactly what we are. This is what's Yisha'am Dalav Haseinu V'lanu. This is what stood us in every generation. The extent to which we make the same jump that we're there to make on Seder night. And finally, Moro Zesha'an Oishlu. You know why we eat Moro? Because it felt bitter. But it was important to feel bitter. The worst thing you could feel in a world that is so far removed from where it needs to be is comfortable. It's the danger of every stage in every part of civilization is to feel comfortable. You know, the former chief rabbi of England, Rabbi Sacks Zichron Livracha, said the following. He said many wise things. This is one of them. He said, in every generation we've ever been as a Jewish people, in every single generation, we have always been told the same thing. There's a few things we've been told. One of them is, you are not with the times. Not with the times. Every generation's been like that. And every single generation has been correct. As a Jewish people, we have not been with the times. But as he put it so eloquently, we've always been ahead of the times. Tacitus, the great Roman writer and historian, attacked the Jewish people for not being with the times. Do you know what he attacked us for? Because we were not up to date with modern technology and morality, the values of the world that they were in. Do you know what those values were that were different from us? You can read it yourself. Because we didn't kill disabled children. And we didn't kill children if too many had been born that year. Modern ethical people understand that's what you got to do. Why do Jews not do that? Because they must belong to some ancient relic of the past. And we were lazy. We didn't just value work. We had the seventh day we took off. We clearly didn't understand the modern world. We were clearly, it was an embarrassment. You know how many Jews were probably embarrassed about it? How many rabbis had to get up and try to, well, we really do mean you can work on the seventh day, but you know, but whatever. How many people probably got up and tried to like squeeze and squiggle around and were ashamed of their Jewish? And here we are a few thousand years later, proud of a world in which the Jewish people stood up and said, every baby has a right to life, even if they can't work. I'm proud of a world where we take off a day from the financial world to focus on that which is priceless. I'm proud of a people who, unlike the Romans, thought peace is the great ideal for the world. Whose Nevi'im, whose prophets said, Le'isa Goel Goy Ferov, the dream of the world is not to lift up sword against nation. I'm proud of a people who taught every child to read and write when as recently as 300 years ago, people thought that's risky for society if the non-elites can be proud of what the Torah was thousands of years ahead. Because it isn't thousands of years ahead, it's all the way at the end.
proud of the people who came out of Egypt and said the world can be different. And if we commit ourselves to that vision, the world will become different. But we have to taste that the Roman world is not comfortable, it's bitter. We have to taste the world around us is not where it needs to be, it is bitter. The world is a mess, and we're impacted by that mess. But we have the freedom to reconnect to the dream. And that dream is the most real thing in this world. The dream the creator of the universe has to the world, the dream of people who jumped all the way to him. At the beginning of Seder night, we say something unbelievable. We say, this is the bread they ate in Egypt. Do you know an amazing thing? In the Torah, it never tells us they ate matzah in Egypt, except once, on the last night in Egypt. The Rashbam says, or the Pirush that's attributed to the Rashbam, the great medieval early Tosfos, we're talking Rashbam says, what we're really saying is, this is the bread our ancestors ate on the last night in Egypt. And we join them. In other words, we're not just commemorating something they did. We're actually traveling across time back to them. We're not just celebrating them. We're eating this meal with them. And we say what they said. They could actually invite everybody in. For technical halachic reasons, you could never do that afterwards on Seder night at that point when the Beis HaMikdash was standing. But they could. They say, "Kol tishrich yisev yifsach." Everyone can eat the Pesach with us. They were saying, "Hashata hachal, this year we're here. Lishana baba aradim disrael. Next year we're going to be in Israel." They were supposed to be in Israel 1 year later. Had there not been a golden calf and then spies and... They were saying, "Hashata avda, we are slaves now. Lishana baba b'nei chayre, next year we're free." We're joining them. We're joining them. We are going back in time to them. And all of Seder night, we go through what they're going through on that last night, waiting for that moment at midnight, that moment beyond space and time, waiting when Hashem says, "Do you want to jump to me?" And we say, "Yes." Waiting for the moment we connect to the vision of the future, waiting to eat the food that is beyond space and time. Because that is what matzah is, right? The only difference between matzah and chametz is time. The ingredients have to be identical. Only ingredient that is different is time. We're going to eat the food that is beyond time, because we're going to eat the moment that's beyond time, because we're going to go all the way when the 10 plagues are gone, all the way to Kodesh Baruch. We're going through that. We literally relive it every Seder night. It's back every Seder night. We thought about them. And do you know what they thought about? Us. Back to the line I just said a moment earlier. When Moshe told them, "You go and take the Pesach, you go and say that you're not subject to these gods in this natural order. Your children in the future, even your cynical children, will ask you questions and you'll give them answers. You'll tell them about this moment." And the people bowed down and said, "Thank you." They were sitting there in Egypt thinking about us. They're going to be future generations. With all the struggles we're inevitably going to go through, there will be people still doing Seder night. And as we jumped to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they were saying, "Our children are going to do the same thing every year." And they were dreaming of us all the way through to Yimaisa Mashiach. And what that means is every single year, every Jew who's ever lived comes back together, and whoever will live, to that single incredible moment. And Hashem comes back into the world and says, "Do you want to live your life for me?" Normally, we say you have to be practical. You have to grow in small steps, take a bit more on. But on Seder night, we just jump. We say, "Hashem, we're with you. We'll worry about what that means tomorrow. Hashem, we know this is going to be a struggle tomorrow, but tonight we say, whatever it is, your will is our will. Your dream is our dream. What you want is what we want. Where you envision the world to be is where we live. We'll worry about how to navigate all the complexities of that tomorrow morning. Now we go out in a moment beyond space and time." And this is what we say, "Behold, dar v'dar, in every generation, chayav adam liras es atzmai." Everyone's meant to see themselves, kilu yatzim mitzrayim, coming out of Egypt. This is who we are. Egypt is not a, Seder night is not a journey of an intellectual journey. It's a journey of the quest. The chacham, the wise, the wisdom in us that is questing, can go as high as it wants to go. All the laws are removed. And what we discover is who we really are. Who we've always been, and who we're always going to be. Hashem should bless each one of us to tap the freedom to step outside the way the world is and step into the deepest depth of the beauty and wisdom and core of what it means to be the new Baha'i Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's child, the Jewish people. What it means to be lifted in the moment when nature's ripped away, lifted into the moment that's not in time, lifted to that timeless oneness. And we solve by Raisa v'kudsha b'richu chadheim. The Zohar tells us Israel, the will of God, his Torah, it's all one thing. It's the essence of who we are. That's who we are, the vision of God, the will of God. Touch that freedom so that every next day of Pesach, we are a slightly changed person and we are on a slightly stronger pathway. The pathway that means our lives will be the Havili Masa Mashiach, lead all the way to Masa Mashiach to Olam Haba. We, citizens of that, we should touch that greatness and we should merit through our Seder night, through our preparation, through all that we do, to be a part and to see it. It should be, we should see the full Seder night that we all dream together. It should be B'mehayah V'yameinu speedily in our days. Amen.